You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
A lot going on. Nothing pressing in the world of sports, but a lot of stories in the world of sports. You have Greg Williams doing what Greg Williams does, right? Basically kind of tooting his own horn and saying they just don't know how to use him, Jamal Adams being that guy, out in Seattle. We'll get to that in a little bit here from Greg Williams as well. Islanders, it pains me. I know that a lot of people say it's good for local. I understand that. I'm not of that ilk. Like, I'm not built that way where I can look at it and say, well, it's good for us locally here to have a team play well, and the Islanders playing well and up 1-0 in that series, and that's great. And it is great, and they are a good team, and they are really well coached, but I don't like it. Same way when I'll have the conversation of, well, Dave, it's good that the Yankees are relevant. It's great that the Yankees are relevant, and the Yankees are terrific, but I'm not going to root for them in the postseason. That's not my DNA. Like, you have those people that are, well, it's really good for New York sports if, you know, I'm a Yankees fan. But if the Mets do well, well, that's great for New York sports. Well, that might be great for you. Like, maybe you can live your life thinking that's great for you, not for me. I'm not wired that way. Same thing with the Jets. If the Giants stink, I don't want the Jets to be good. I want the Jets. I mean, 2009, 2010, Jets in the postseason, going to the AFC Championship game. Think I want that? Why would I want that? Well, but they're on your station, Dave. Okay, great. I don't want it. It's good for the network. It's good for the station. It's good for the advertising. That's fine. Not good for me. Wired maybe a little bit differently. Yankees, terrific. I mean, they start a series this weekend against the Boston Red Sox. Gerrit Cole is on the mound in this one and tonight. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say. Yankees, the one thing I will say about the Yankees, and I don't like how this went down the other day, and I was in the car. I heard the K Show start out their show on, I guess it was Wednesday, where Judge was pinch hit for, removed from the game, pinch hit for, in the sixth on Tuesday. And the Yankees said, and Aaron Boone said after the game, there's nothing wrong with him. You have no reason to be concerned. Just getting him a little bit of rest at the end of the game. And the thought was, well, that's strange. You were just off on Monday. You're going to be off on Thursday. Why would you give him, why would you not let him finish the game? And I understand that it was, I guess, in all intents and purposes, a blowout at that moment. But I don't know. It was a little bit odd of a decision to make. And now you find out yesterday that the lower body soreness or tightness or whatever they're officially deeming this thing. So why are you telling me on Tuesday that there's absolutely nothing wrong when he doesn't play on Wednesday? And clearly there is something wrong. Now you can sit here and tell me, Dave, it's not a big deal. There's no reason to be concerned about it. Well, that's fine. I buy into that. I'm not saying that Aaron Judge is going to miss, go on the IL or go on some kind of a list and be out for 10 days or 2 weeks or a month or the rest of the season. No one is saying that, but don't lie. Don't tell me. I mean, you know what it's like? It's like a child when you catch them with their hands in the cookie jar. It's like, did you touch the cookie? Nope, didn't do it. And then the next day you go to the videotape, you're like, you did. Why did you lie? As if Aaron Boone didn't think that the next day could be an issue. Just tell us the truth. I think that's what we're looking for, right? So we didn't get that from the Yankees. But the Yankees, I don't know what more there is to say, though. Like, honestly, and I don't know if you feel like this with the Yankees. The phone lines are open. And we're going to go in a lot of different directions today. 800-919-3776. I don't know if you feel like this with the Yankees, but I almost feel like, you know, they're on cruise control. Because I've said this before. Does the one seed matter? Does the two seed, like, does any of it, as long as you're going to get in and you know they're going to get in, does it matter where? Does it matter who the opposition is? Like, do you care if you're going to play the A's or the Astros or the Indians or whoever it's going to be? I don't know why it would. It's not like there's this magical home field advantage this postseason where you look and you say, yeah, but you know what? We don't have to travel. Where are you going to travel to? So you're gonna travel to where, to Cleveland, to Tampa, to wherever it is? and you'll stay there for a game or two or three. I don't think it matters. There's no home crowd. Traveling won't be bad. I mean, ideally, like, you can't get guys to fight for home field advantage when home field advantage really matters. Do you think that guys and teams are going to be interested in home field advantage when there's no advantage other than you get to sleep in your own bed? So I don't know. But I don't think it matters. Like, I just watched the Yankees. And again, you watch them and they're an exciting team. And they have a lot of players that certainly move the needle. I don't know that I look at the Yankees and like every game is do or die. The Mets, every game is do or die. Because the Mets are in a situation where, I mean, now they're 9-11. They've won a couple in a row. They've got DeGrom on the mound. But they need to win these games. The Mets need to win games in order to be one of the top eight in the National League. And the Mets are oh my God. Even when they win, you're like, yeah, I mean, McNeil is running into the wall and you have to cart him off. Then you find out that he's going to be okay, but that's a concern, and the injuries, and Stroman opts out, and, you know, Waka's hurt now. It's just, I mean, it never ends. Like, I must have done something, all the Mets fans must have done something poorly in a prior life, because being a Mets fan is really, it is unbelievable. Even when you win. I will say this, though, because a lot of people say, oh, you're so negative with the Mets. First of all, there's not a ton of positivity to have. I like Nito. Like, I think he's a forget about a good backup catcher. He's a nice player. He's a good defensive player. And if he's decent offensively, you can really afford to play him. And he's been decent this year. Peterson's good. Like, we didn't really know a lot about him leading into the year. He's a really nice player. And Jimenez is really good. So, I get it. You still have all the same concerns and upset that you've had. But at least there are a couple of young pieces. And it's funny because Cano goes out. Jimenez looks good. Right, you give Ramos day, Nito looks good. McNeil goes out, Hamilton makes a nice play in center field. It's like, you know, you're forced to kind of move in this direction, and the Mets are, I guess you'd say, treading water at the moment, not trying to take too much on, because I think you look at them overall, and you're not in love with what they are, certainly. Pitching is Mats is a home run machine. He's a turnstile, right? Just look behind you, because there it goes over and over and over again. It's funny, I was talking to my son in the car yesterday, and he's 13 years old, and he understands. He said, Dad, do you realize that their number five starter from last year is their number two starter this season? And I was like, well, Ben, you're right. The kid is right. I mean, you had Wheeler, you had Syndergaard, and at some point you had Stroman, and Mats was the last guy. Now Mats is bad, and you go where? You go to Porcello and Peterson, and then what? Lockett? I mean, the Mets starting staff. So certainly some issues, but they did rebound nicely to win a couple in a row over the Washington Nationals. Tomorrow, guys, by the way, August 15th, the heavyweight title and the legacies of two legends are on the line when Stipe Miocic, and it's taken me all week, by the way, really, honestly, like looking at pronunciation guides, the whole thing, to finally get it right. But it's Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier complete their trilogy at UFC 252 on ESPN+. Plus, the stage is set for an epic showdown between two of the best heavyweights of all time. UFC 252 exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99, or get UFC 252 and an ESPN Plus annual plan for $84.98. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com/PPV. Let's get to a couple calls, then we'll get into this the Jets and the NBA. Giants are of interest as well. And I mean, how about this? We are less than 4 weeks. I know it's so weird with what's going on in the world that we're actually excited about something that's less than a month away, because who knows what happens. But we are less than a month away, less than 4 weeks away from the kickoff of the NFL season. And unless something, and again, we never know, and you keep your fingers crossed and you, all those things, I think unless something really, because the NFL is going to push forward, unless something really unexpected happens, which absolutely could happen, I really think we're going to get football on Thursday, September 10th. 800-919-3776. Let's get to a couple calls. We'll get into the Jets. We'll get into the Zach Plesac. I mean, what a miserable guy, huh? I don't know if you heard what he had to say. He and Clevenger leave the hotel, travel into Chicago, and the media are the bad guys. And I don't even know the guy's name. Santiago, you probably do. You're up on everything. This Seattle Seahawks player. Did you see this guy?
I heard about it.
Who dressed up, I don't even know, girlfriend, a woman, as if she were an NFL player to sneak into the team hotel? You wonder why we can't trust anybody? This is a kid that his entire football career is dangling in the balance, and he's dumb enough to dress someone up to get into the compound, into the team hotel. Forget about what it even means to the rest of your team and how dangerous and dumb and selfish it is. How ridiculous is it, just from your own standpoint, that you're willing to take sacrifices like that? It is unbelievable. 800-919-3776. Like I said, a lot of little topics. Nothing unbelievably pressing, but a lot of good topics today as we get rolling. Let's go to Spike in Jersey. Spike, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, good morning and congratulations at a huge task of steering the ship from 6 to 10.
I'm basically like Sully, but the boat version of it, the way you say steering the ship.
You don't miss a beat. None of you guys did. That was great radio, and we're spoiled because, well, it's good. The rest of the country can hear you, but it was a seamless transition, and the captain steered this boat right into the slip. Great job. I'm very
Thank you very much, Spike. No, really? Now, let me ask you this. So we did 4 hours a day.
Yep.
5 days this week. Mm-hmm. 20 hours. How many hours of that 20 did you listen to?
Well, in the morning, it's tough for me because...
Well, don't lie to me, Spike. Just be honest. Just give me the honest truth.
I caught about an hour this morning. I caught the open at 6, and then I have the chores with the dogs. And then I came back at 8:45 or so. And when I can, I listen. You know, I'm dedicated to the station. You know that by now.
I do know that. That I do believe in.
And it's just great. I'm very proud of everybody, and justifiably so. I never doubted you could do it. Here's something I told Larry last night, who's pinch hitting for Colin. A friend of mine is a pulmonary specialist, and I know audiences come in and out, so I want to say it. And he's got a son that just turned 18. He's at one of these colleges that will be playing, so it's one of the 60% or 40, whatever the hell the percentage is. And his father says, listen, you know, the COVID-19 is transmitted in three ways, perspiration, expectorating, and mucus, or as I say, sweat, spit, and snot. And he says, I wouldn't play. And he says, you're an adult. You make your decision. And the youngster, I don't know the result. It's up in the air. So I'm going to ask you what I asked Larry. If Ben was, Ben's 13 now, if I remember correctly. Right. So if Ben wanted to play football, which has the highest percentage of exchanging fluids, to put it in an easy way, very vulnerable.
Now, you're saying if Ben wanted to play football at 13?
Is Ben a collegiate athlete
looking to go away to Ohio State and play? Like, what's the actual question?
Let's say he got a scholarship, and let's put it out there. Ben was a great student and a great athlete, and he wanted to go to college. He was 18, and the coach said, we're going to play. Would you and Sherry let him play?
I'd prefer he didn't. It would scare me, and thanks for the call, Spike, that he would say, yeah, you know what, I'm going to travel down to Tallahassee or to, you know, Gainesville and play football or to wherever, any of these schools that looks like they're going to move forward and play. I'd prefer he didn't. I would tell him my thoughts. Ultimately, it's his decision, but I think a lot of the decision makers, and this is what kind of upsets me here, I think a lot of the decision makers over having the best interest of the kids, and that's what they tell you, it's the best interest of the kids. I don't believe that. I think it's all bottom line. I think it's all about the bottom line and how much money can we make, how much money will we lose, and is it worth the risk? That's my take on it. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, a little solo Dave action on a Friday. This is great.
You like that, don't you? You sound like you're intrigued by the next couple hours.
I very much am so, but I'm a little worried about next week. They stole an hour from you guys. I mean, what are we going to do?
I mean, you're going to do what you do. You're going to listen to the new morning show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. They're going to take you 6 to 9
Absolutely.
Here on 98.7. And then you really 8:55. We're going to start 5 minutes early. That's our staple. So 8:55, appointment radio. Till 11 o'clock, and then at 11 o'clock you're going to get Bart and Han. Then at 1 o'clock, you got Greeny. 2 o'clock, you got Kellerman. 3 o'clock, Kay. So you're right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. They took an hour. But I think we're going to pack 3 hours into two. That's the new motto of the station, of the show.
I like the sound of that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. Greeny, I can't wait to him being back. I've grown up listening to him, so I'm excited for that. But I completely agree with you with the Yankees and stuff. Like, I don't think you can put any stock into the health of Aaron Judge and obviously Stanton as well. You just look at their bodies. There's the size of them. There's never been a positional baseball player that's ever been that size and moving around.
And you got two of them, Dempsey.
Do.
You don't even have one. You have one, and you have another one.
Yeah. And my thing is, I look at these young guys behind them, and a lot of my friends who are diehard Yankee fans, and we listen to all these shows like I do all day, every day. And people are saying about trading Clint Frazier. You look at him, like you look at Gleyber Torres and Clint Frazier, they have the bodies that can last for 10, 15 years in the league and be productive. I think the Yankees would be very, very foolish to give up Clint Frazier. That man hits home runs without even using his legs.
But you know what the thing is, Dempsey, and thanks for the call, and I appreciate the kind words as well, and 800-919-3776 as we roll along here on a Friday morning. I don't know what it is, but there's something about Clint Frazier that the Yankees just don't love. Right? Like you can't even argue this at this point. If they loved him, he would always be with them, and they would get him into the lineup 4 or 5 days a week. And they just don't. I don't know it's because he kind of beats to his own drum. I don't know whether it's because of the way he is defensively. I don't know what it is. But I don't believe for a second that the Yankees look at him and say, this guy is the future. I think they're going to trade him. I really do. Now, you talk about Stanton and Judge, and let's go there with the New York Baseball Report brought to you by Mazda. You have to worry. And I've heard, and I understand, that, well, Judge was getting hit by a pitch, and Judge was a sliding catch, and Stanton's are more like, you know, lower body, you know, pulls of muscles, and you'd be more concerned about that. Okay. If you want to tell me that you're more concerned about Stanton than Judge, fine. But you know what? Stanton was hit on the wrist. Judge was hit on the wrist and missed time. Judge did dive for a ball and broke a rib and missed extended time, and would have missed a lot of the season had we started back in late March, early April. So I understand that these are, you know, you say fluky injuries, but you look up today. He didn't play on Wednesday. You don't know if he's going to play tonight. And Stanton's already out. So the idea that this duo will continue and Stanton's going to be here for a long time, I mean, make no bones about it. You are not getting rid of him anytime soon. Because let's be honest, if you're not a Yankees fan, whatever team it is that you root for, if I said you can have Stanton for nothing, you give me whatever. You give me a double-A pitcher who's going to wind up going nowhere. But you pick up the contract. Do you want Stanton? I don't. As a Mets fan, I wouldn't want him. Let me spend that money on Lindor. Let me spend that money on Real Muto. I wouldn't want him for nothing. I wouldn't want Stanton on my team. So are those guys injury-wise a concern? To me, they are. Stanton more than Judge? Okay, that's fine. But this idea that you don't worry about Judge? How could you not? He's out again. How many games did he play? Lower body injury? Lower body stiffness? Already? Guys, he's played, what, 15 games, 17 games? And here we are. Now, again, does it matter? Not if he's healthy for the postseason. That's all you're concerned about now. I don't care about Cole, Tanaka, Stanton, Judge, Torres, LeMahieu, any of them. All that the Yankees should be focused on is the postseason. Hopefully we'll get there. Hopefully they'll bubble this thing. 1-8-2-7-3-6, 2-3. Home team, using quotes, hosts all those three games. That's the New York Baseball Report, brought to you by Mazda. Discover the family of award-winning Mazda CU VS, including the first-ever Mazda CX-30, the versatile Mazda CX-5, and the three-row CX-9, all engineered to deliver confidence on the road ahead. Visit MazdaUSA.com or see your local Mazda dealer for more details. Lot going on. Tons going on in the world of sports. Let's spend a minute on the NBA. We'll get to your calls, 800-919-3776. We'll take a quick break, come back, and get into the Jets. A little bit with the Giants as well, as we kind of have a potpourri of sports today. I got to tell you, and I've watched. I mean, no Knicks, so I'm not glued to the return in the bubble, but I'm watching. But last night's game between Portland and Brooklyn was it had drama. And I said this earlier on the morning show that we did. I give a lot of credit to Brooklyn. They have nothing to play for. They could have completely mailed it in, and they absolutely answered the bell. So I give a lot of credit, and I get Jacque Vaughn would want that. But to get those players to buy into it, really good job by them. Really. You say, that's what they're supposed to do. Okay. How many times have you watched a team that has nothing to play for mail it in? It happens all the time. So Brooklyn gave us something last night. It was a great game. Portland had to win to get in. I'm watching the game, and I'm in bed because I had to wake up early this morning, and I'm watching the game, and I couldn't believe where Damian Lillard pulled up from. Literally, he crosses half court. He's on the logo, and he's shooting the ball. I could not believe what I was seeing. And on top of as crazy as it was, he drained it. He nailed it. Like it shocks me that this day in any day and age. Like I never thought. And you say, well, that's because you're old. Whatever the case may be, I never thought that I'd be watching basketball. And an announcer would not destroy a player who pulled up from 40 feet away with 17 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, that to me is just, it is unbelievable. But that's what we saw. And the thing is, the range on these guys is, it's almost limitless. He took a 40-foot shot. That's unheard of unless you're trying to beat a clock of some sort. Unbelievable. So the Blazers win. They now move on to take on Memphis. Here's how it works. Blazers win that one game. It's done. They move on. Memphis has to win two games. Okay? Game one tomorrow, ABC 230. If there is a second game, it'll be Sunday 4:30 on ESPN. You'd expect Portland would win one of those two. They do. They move on to face the Lakers. And doesn't it kind of feel, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't it kind of feel like people are souring a little bit on the Lakers and there's a lot of steam behind the Clippers right now? It feels like the pick, everyone taking the Clippers. That's what I did. That's what Bart did. That's what Rick did. Clippers, Bucks, and he's the NBA final. All right, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. No Rick, no Chris. We'll be back together as a show unit on Monday morning at 8:55 in our new time slot because the station undergoing a couple of changes. I've outlined them. Let me outline them again for you. 6 to 8:55 is going to be Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Mehenti. That's going to be starting on Monday, every Monday through Friday. At 8:55 till 11, it's going to be our show. You affectionately know it as DCR. At 11 o'clock, it's going to be Bart and Han till 1 for 2 hours. At 1 o'clock, Greeny for an hour of Greeny, 1 to 2. 2 to 3, an hour of Max Kellerman. And at 3 o'clock, the K Show into Carlin, into Larry, into Gordon, and we do it all again. 800-919-3776. So Santiago's telling me the guy in Seattle who snuck a woman into the hotel is Kima Sivarand.
Oklahoma and State.
What'd you say?
Oklahoma State.
Well, it was probably something that was happening under the watchful eye of their head coach there. And he thought he could get away with doing that with Seattle. Here's what I'll say, though, and this is what it's so hypocritical. If that was, you tell me. If that's Bobby Wagner, what happens? They fine him? They don't kick him out of camp. There's no go away, you can't be here. It's all you, and this is the way with all the stuff. You get as much leash as good as the player you are, right? Like if you're a great player, you can get away with more things. And if you're not great, now you're looking for work, as is Kima Sivarand, former Seahawk. All right,
no
Greg Williams.
For Pete Carroll, just why you said. Yeah. He gets to make an example out of somebody, and it doesn't have to be
exactly
important.
I mean, it's perfect for him. It's a guy that wasn't going to make the team anyway. He got a $2,000 signing bonus, and now you don't have to deal with him. And now you show, or but here's the thing. Yes, you make an example, but I think everybody knows if Russell Wilson does this in Seattle, Santi, that he's what happens.
Which is why it's perfect.
Yeah, but does it really deter? Not that they would do it, but does it deter the star player? Because the star player can do whatever they want anyway.
It's not going to deter the star player, but it'll deter everyone else.
You're right. You're right. The undrafted free agent, but I can't believe it. Actually makes me angry that the guy was this stupid that he is willing. I mean, on so many levels, right? Like, on the level of you're risking your entire career, I would think that you've been working for this since you're a little kid. So you go to Oklahoma State. Now you're with Seattle. You have a chance to make a roster, however legitimate it is or not. You have a chance to at least put some decent tape down there. Maybe another team, maybe Pete Carroll calls somebody else and says, listen, I don't have room for this kid, but maybe you do. So you're ruining any chance. Because do you really think that a team is going to pick up the phone now and say, hey, Sivarin, come on, let's see what you got? No. You'd be foolish to do that. So you hurt yourself. And how dumb and selfish it is that you would do this to your teammates. And we have a pandemic going on. And you're that desperate? You're that desperate that you're bringing someone in and we don't know where they've been or who they are into the hotel that everyone can now deal with this? Or if you get it from her, now everyone else is possibly inclined to get it? It's really awful. It's funny on one hand. Dresses up his, I don't even know what she is, his girlfriend, whatever she is, just female friend, lady friend, whatever you want to call her. So he dresses her up looking like a player. With pads and helmet and jersey and everything. Ridiculous. So is it funny? Yeah, I guess it's funny. But it's also, it's awful. Like, it just goes to show you. Like, people say, well, I don't understand why we can't beat this virus. Why? You really don't understand? Because people are so selfish. Constantly. All right, let's take a listen to what Greg Williams had to say about Jamal Adams. I don't know. I get it. This is who he is. This is what he does. It's ridiculous at this point. Greg Williams on the fact that Jamal Adams, he may get bored playing with his new club in Seattle.
We're very multiple in how we do those things anyway. You know, we're not just a stand, you know, but Jamal may get bored there because they don't use their safety type things and all the different complexities of maybe this, not showing what they're doing as much as we do. We'll do still the same patterns of things. We'll still do a lot of the same exact things, but we'll highlight the people we have here. And as you saw, what we did there is that he had maybe his most productive year here because of how we highlighted the skill sets that he's had. And I've had a lot of really, really good guys at that position over the years, had a lot of really good safeties to be able to build things around.
First of all, could you sound more like a look at me, look how great I am guy than Greg Williams does in that soundbite? And again, here's the thing. I think all of us, even if you're a negative Jets fan, you look at the job that Greg Williams did and the kind of defensive mind that he is and say, he's good, right? I don't love his personality. I don't love that he's, you know, always swinging it, whatever you want to say. I think you have to look at him realistically and say he's a terrific defensive mind, right? Terrific defensive mind. Do we really need you to come on and tell us how he's just going to be bored? I'm sure when they're week 17 in a win and you have the one seed in the NFC, I'm sure that Jamal Adams will be horribly bored. Horribly bored with the whole thing. Cam Chancellor looks bored to tears. Bored to tears in that defense there. They just won't, they won't use him in the same way. We get it. You're terrific. You're one of the brightest defensive minds in all the NFL. But you know what? You did not make Jamal Adams great. Jamal Adams is a great player. And he will be great with Pete Carroll. And he was great with you. And he can go to any of the 32 teams and be great. The same way, I mean, it's like saying Andy Reid loses Patrick Mahomes. Well, you know, I mean, the Texans, they won't be able to use him the same way we so genially use him. You know, they will. I don't think he's going to be bored. Ever. Winning games, getting paid, playing well is not a recipe for boredom. Ira, Staten Island. Ira, you're first up. 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? Good luck with your time slot.
Thanks.
Definitely listening Monday morning. Listen, you know, that's what Greg Williams is. I'm not making excuses for him. I would have preferred that he didn't say it. But, you know, one thing, and this is the truth about Adams, Greg Williams did kind of play to Adams' strengths because he is kind
of. But, Ira, isn't that what any – I mean, you say that, and you're right. But isn't that what any good coach in any capacity, boss in any capacity does? Takes their player, takes their employee, takes their worker, and puts them in the best position to succeed. You deserve a walk down how great you are, Lane, because you've done that.
No, 100%. I get it. And like I said, I would have preferred to not say it, but that's whose personality he is. Got to remember, you know, he's a guy that he had the bounty thing going on in New Orleans, so you know he's definitely a cocky guy. You know, he's definitely confident in himself, but. And he does say it, you know, he is a talker. That's the way he is. But you know what? I look at it, maybe the players hear that and, you know, maybe he's building up their confidence to kind of step it up. But listen, Adams is going to be great in Seattle. There's no two ways about it.
As long as he's not bored, I imagine he'd be good in Seattle, yes.
Yeah, and then how about that knucklehead? Like, you brought up, you're talking about the guy that tried to sneak his girlfriend or wife or whoever she was. I mean, but are you surprised, Dave? And you know what? It's not going to be the only one.
No, the only one. I got Clevenger leaving. I got Plesak leaving. We'll hear from Plesak in a little bit later. But no, am I surprised? Ira, you wonder why we can't go to any other country right now? You wonder why the United States of America is sitting here with 33% of the cases of COVID-19? This is why.
Dave, don't even get me started on that because I'm on Staten Island. You know what? No disrespect to anybody out here, but what I see, what goes on out here, it's like 50 against 50. Half the people. I go into stores where there are people that are actually attending to people that are not wearing masks.
Oh, that's gross.
How bad is that?
Honestly, and Ira, thanks for the call as always, and have a great weekend. If you're one of these idiots who's going into a store and not wearing a mask, then you are so selfish. You really are. This is not political. You listen to any scientist, you listen to any doctor, you listen to any immunologist that says, wear a mask. Well, but Fauci told us that masks don't matter. You know what? New and improved, guys. Wear a mask. Why would you not? Like, that's the thing. What's the downside? But I'm uncomfortable. Oh, so sorry. What is the downside to you wearing a mask? You don't spread disease. And now you don't have to talk to people that you might not want to talk to. I had a beautiful moment yesterday. I'm in CVS. Someone I see there, I don't really care for him. And I can pretend I don't know who it is because he's wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. I walk right by. You can't. No mask. He can tell. Mask. You can't. Am I surprised? No. Am I disgusted? Yes. Tommy in Queens. Tommy, you're next up on 98.7.
Well, first off, I just want to thank you for giving me another solid Dave day. I feel like we're kind of spoiled now because Canty and DiPietro just giving you basically all the sports spotlight, and I kind of love it.
Yeah, I do have quite the spotlight on me. And I got to be honest, and I think you would agree. I mean, you know, as we sit here at hour five of my radio day, Tommy, I'm doing a terrific job, wouldn't you say?
Do you get tired, though? Like, is this, like, a superpower that no one else really can possess? Like,
well, I don't know. I think there's a few others that can do it. But I will tell you this honestly. Like, you're doing sports talk radio, and you're kind of on adrenaline. Like, I'm talking about the Jets. I'm talking about football. We're weeks away from the start of the season. We got guys that are sneaking girlfriends into complexes. Like, yeah, I think you run on adrenaline. I will tell you this. When I'm done at, like, 11:58 or whatever it is today, I will probably have a quick bowl of cereal and get into bed for hours.
Well, that is why you're my favorite sport broadcaster.
I appreciate it. So. What's on your mind?
But I do want to talk basically about Greg Williams' comments. Coming from a Jets fan, my high point of a Jets fan is when Rex Ryan was head coach, got us to two AFC championship games, didn't get the Super Bowl, obviously, and that's, as a fan, always leaves me wanting more. I did, at times, not all the time, liked Rex being fiery because it did also fire up his team. I didn't like it coming from the head coach. As Greg Williams being the defensive coordinator, I guess I kind of like that okay. It's not something that
I
want.
See, I kind of feel the opposite, Tommy. I think the head coach doing it is something I don't like. I don't like it, period. Like, give me Belichick. Give me a guy that's going to say nothing, no bulletin board, any of that. But to have your defensive coordinator doing it, and we spoke to Mike Tannenbaum this morning, former Jets GM, and he said, first of all, you don't do it. It's not appropriate. Second of all, when Rex did it, you know, he could get away with it. For Greg Williams to do it, it's completely unnecessary. And he was really turned off by the fact that he did it.
Like I was going to say, like, he doesn't have anything to back it up. Like, he doesn't have anything to really say, like, you know, I got a right to say this because we're doing so good. We are doing horrible. Like, I mean, I do love Joe Douglas.
Well, I mean, I guess from his defense, his defense played well, really well last year.
He did.
I mean, right? If you got him into a room and gave him truth serum, he'd probably say, my defense wasn't the problem. Defensively, we were great.
That's the whole, like, we have two separate teams. Our offense.
You have
and
two
defense.
Separate teams, Tommy. You are correct.
It's annoying.
Well, that's what
Dave, add one quick thing. Could I please? It's a dream. Could I do? Did this happen in Florida? One question with you.
Well, I'm going to let Santiago answer that. Santi, can he do one? Did it happen in Florida?
Please,
as long as he's quick.
All right, Raymond, being in a good mood that he is. It's a Friday. Go ahead, Tommy. What do you got?
So, homeless man breaks into a place of luxury at a stadium. Lives there for a couple of days, living it up in one of the suite boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Did this stadium exist in Florida?
So homeless man breaks into a luxury stadium and lives there for a few days. Until what? Until the police came in and found him?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to say yes, Florida. Santi, what do you say?
I mean, I was leaning toward not Florida until you said that, and you're, like, so good at these. I'm going to say not Florida because I feel like somehow, some way, the stadiums would still be in use in Florida.
Ray, we always have to trust Dave. He always, I don't know how. I don't know how, but he's always right.
There you go. Do you know where in Florida? I'm always interested to find out where this took place.
I don't have the county pulled up. I'm so sorry.
All right, Tom. Listen, next time, that's part of the process, all right?
You're right, I failed.
It is the process. Thanks for the call, Tommy. We appreciate it. 800-919-3776. We'll hear from Jordan Jenkins next as well. And what do you think? Having your defensive coordinator, you want to say take shots? I guess it was, right? Really what I heard was, I'm so great. That's what I heard. I'm so great. Look at me. I'm the best. I don't think it was as much shots at Jamal Adams or Seattle as it was, I'm so good. I've had a lot of safeties over the years, and I'm so good that I can turn any of them into really, really good players. All right, you know what stadium it is, Santi?
The name of the stadium is Al Lang Stadium in St. Petersburg, Florida, home to the Tampa Bay Rowdies soccer team.
So he broke in and was just living there?
Apparently so.
Got to tell you, those luxury suites are nice, huh?
Even in a place called Al Lang Stadium in St. Petersburg. What?
Luxury is luxury, wherever it happens to be. Santi, I'm debating whether to get into something quickly. I think you know what it is. Do I make mention or do I leave it?
Is this with regards to what you were discussing during
yes,
the break?
Yes, we were just discussing it moments ago.
Why not? Go for it.
So the voice of the Islanders on the Islanders radio network is, what's his name?
Chris King.
Chris King. That's what I thought it was, but I didn't want to say it incorrectly. I think he's terrific. I really do. But did you hear that promo? One of the great comeback wins for the Islanders in their playoff history?
No.
There is no well. I'm going to give you the floor for a minute just to make your statement, but what?
I was just going to say maybe in his lifetime.
Come on.
He's pretty young, right?
No, he can't. What, 80 is 40 years ago. They won in 83. No way. But that's not what he said. He didn't say, I'm 33, and in my lifetime, it's one of the greatest playoff comeback wins I've ever seen. They won four straight cups and went to five consecutive Stanley Cup finals. It was a terrific win, worthy of discussion. We'll really kind of do a deeper dive at the top of the 11 o'clock hour.
I'm just trying to bring you into his train of thought. He was born in 1987, it looks like.
He's young.
So I mean, he was not old enough to see those cup wins, to see that great Islanders dynasty.
Maybe one of the great wins in recent memory in Islanders Stanley Cup playoff history?
I think that's fair.
You think he knows about 1980?
I'm sure he knows all about
exactly.
1980.
You think he's familiar with what happened winning four in a row in the early 80s?
I got to think that he knows all about it.
Oh, exactly. And that's my point.
But again, from his point of view, like, listen, you like to rag on me for being a Cowboy fan, and I could talk about the 70s all I want. I wasn't alive for the 70s. I didn't see that.
Doesn't matter. They still happened.
They did happen.
I mean, if a running back took it 47 yards on a great run, and you say that's the greatest run in Cowboys history, do you remember the 99-yard run from Tony Dorsett on Monday night?
Again, I didn't see it happen, but I've seen it the play so many times. As has been pointed out to me also, that John Tavares had an amazing game-winning goal not that long ago in a playoff game for the Islanders.
Now, Dean Hans texted me. He said comeback. There is no way that's the greatest comeback in Islanders postseason history. Zero chance. Didn't they have that huge comeback like 2 years ago when Tavares won the game in overtime?
Right, and I think that was a clincher, wasn't it?
I think so. So please, all right, but we move on. All right, let's.
I'll say this last word.
I don't. We stop defending.
I'm not defending.
You're defending.
Maybe they're just erasing John Tavares. They don't love John Tavares anymore. You do know.
And
this.
I understand why they
pajama boy.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's go to Andy and Merrick. Andy, I'm sorry. I know you're an Islanders fan, Andy. I'm sorry I had to get into that for a minute.
That's okay, Dave. You know what's interesting is I saw you at CVS yesterday. You walked right by me. Very disheartening.
I did. I didn't want to make any contact. You're very cute, Andy.
Fantasy football coming soon. I have four questions for you today.
Oh, my God. All right.
And they all focus on the tight ends. You ready, Mr. Rothenberg?
I'm ready, Mr. Andy.
All right. So, Tony Gonzalez obviously holds many of the tight end records, receptions, receiving yards. Can you tell me who's number two on those lists?
You want all of you want
no
most
just
catches?
Receptions and receiving yards. This and tight end is number two behind Gonzalez in those categories.
It's the same guy.
Same guy, still active.
Witten.
Jason Witten is correct.
Ugh. All right.
Dang.
There you go. Very overrated. Very, very, very overrated. But continue along.
Question number two.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez is not the all-time touchdown leader among tight ends. Can you tell me who has caught 116 touchdowns as a tight end?
Antonio Gates.
Boom, two for two.
Okay.
There are 9 tight ends in the Hall of Fame. Several have won a Super Bowl ring as a player, but only one of them has won 3 Super Bowls as a player. Can you name that tight end?
I don't think Ditka won 3.
Dave Ditka Casper. Had 1 as a player with the Cowboys.
1 with the Cowboys?
Ditka only had 1 with the Cowboys.
Yeah,
Super
okay.
Bowl 6.
Could be Shannon Sharp. I'm going to go with Shannon Sharp.
And that would be correct.
All right, 3 for 3.
Bonus question time.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1972... there have been 3 tight ends drafted as top 6 picks. Can you name 2 of them?
Oh. Santi, have any idea on these?
I think Vernon Davis is one, right?
Yeah, he was 5th, I think.
Vernon Davis was number 6 overall by San Francisco. That's 1.
All right. So this is since when? Since the 70s?
That's since 72. One of them was in 72. The other one is in 2004.
I don't know that I know this. Santi, you have any further idea?
I should know this, and it's gonna kill me because it might be another Miami guy. Remember when the Miami had a big run on?
Well, it's not Shockey. He went.
No, Shockey was later on.
Santiago is on the right path.
With that, it's Miami?
University of Miami.
Yeah, remember when they had that run on tight ends?
It's not Kellen Winslow.
Kellen Winslow Jr., sixth pick by Cleveland in 2004.
Yeah. To say that didn't work out well would be a very gross understatement.
Gross is the right word. Yeah. Riley Odoms, number five overall pick in 1972 by the Broncos.
I never would have gotten that one. But all right, so three out of four, not awful. Not awful.
Fantastic as always. Stay safe. Good weekend.
All right, there you have it. That is the great Andy from Merrick. 800-919-3776. We'll get into the Giants a little bit. Something was brought to my attention that I would like to get into in the 11 o'clock hour. Tonight on MSG Plus, your home for Islanders hockey. Barzal and the Isles take on Ovechkin and the Capitals. Game two of the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tune to MSG Plus starting at 7:30 for extensive pregame coverage on Islanders game night. Then at 8 o'clock, join Brendan Burke and Butch Goring for all the action as the puck drops on Isles Capitals game two tonight on MSG Plus. Or stream it on MSG Go, the Islanders on MSG Plus, through at least game four, your team, your network. And in addition to MSG, game will also be heard right here on 98.7 ESPN starting at 7:30. Drop of the puck, as you just heard, is 8 o'clock.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.